Now, you may be able to predict, based on the children's time, what our scripture passage is. From the second chapter of John, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it out. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. John's gospel is different. Okay? We've got four gospels. Three of them we call the synoptics. When you do the historical critical stuff, they probably come from roughly the same strand of things. And then there's John. John deals with things more in metaphor and allegory and symbolism. We get lots of conversations about the light that shines in the darkness. You guys have heard that one recently, right? John is filled with I am statements, where Jesus says, "I am the vine, I am the good shepherd, I am the great physician." That's the theme for the community Lenten services this year. I am the gatepost, I am the way, the truth, and the life, all of those I am passages. He doesn't include some of the really traditional stories we get used to. There is no Christmas in John's gospel. It's really kind of disappointing. We just get this crazy John the Baptist guy, and a lot of him. John likes to provide hints of what's coming. And John is heavily, heavily, heavily sacramental. So with those lenses in mind, let me walk you through the wedding at Cana. The first phrase of the second chapter of John's gospel is, 3 days later. Anything important in the gospel happened 3 days later? Nothing significant at all, right? John's already doing this stuff. There's a wedding in Cana, and Jesus and his mother and his disciples are invited. They run out of wine. Now, for some of you, you understand what a crisis this would be. Some of you have perhaps heard, had a conversation with a child or a parent that went kind of like this: "Fix it, Mom." Not going to fix it. It's not my turn. It's not my problem. Not my job. And Mom just sails right over the top and says, "Just do whatever he tells you to do." That's really good discipleship information. How good are we at doing that? Right? How many times have we told people, "If you would just do what Jesus says to do, it'll all work out"? How many of you have been able to do that? I better not see a whole lot of hands because I need to put mine down too. I imagine Jesus, the Greek is really funny. It's a word you would not normally use for your mother. It's kind of like woman with exasperation. It's only used there in John's gospel. Like, it's not the word they use other places. It's really odd. But you notice that Mary won, right? Just so we're keeping score. You notice that Jesus did what his mother told him to do. And so there's these huge purification jars. Now think about how long this takes. When we go to Africa, we meet those women, and they're hauling 5 gallons of water at a time, usually on their head. Water weighs 8 pounds per gallon. Each of these things holds 20 to 30 gallons. If you're as uncoordinated as me, there's no way 5 gallons is going in every time, right? So maybe like 4 gallons out of every 5 gallon bucket is making it in. So we're looking at somewhere between 5 and 8 trips per container. You got 5 or 6 of those things. I can't imagine this happens very quickly or without some grumbling and some questioning. Okay, we're out of wine. Why do we need water? Right, we're out of wine. Why do we need 120 gallons of water? Just to be curious, how many of you have ever had a conversation in your prayer life with Jesus that went like, okay, this is what I need. Why are you telling me to do this? It might have happened. So anyway, they get the things all the way filled up. Now, these are jars set aside for a specific purpose, right? These are for ritual purification, ritual washing. In the church, we call that baptism. And Jesus has the servant draw a ladle out and take it to the chief steward and give it to him. It's really kind of a disappointing miracle. I mean, like, there's no magic words, there's no flash of light, there's nothing cool like, boom! This is Josh Sellers across the side of it, or Ernest and Julio Gallo, or something like that. And nothing changes. The steward is amazed because he goes to the bridegroom and says, "You kept the good stuff." Nobody keeps the good stuff. They're in their cups now. This is when you bring out the PBR. This is when you bring out the Mad Dog. This is when you bring out the box wine. You kept the good stuff. Now, going back to John for a moment, John tells us a number of parables about Jesus as the bridegroom. We get a number of parables about weddings and people who are not prepared for a wedding. We get a parable about guests who don't show up at a wedding, and then they go in and gather people off the street, and somebody still gets thrown out for not being dressed appropriately. We get another one about, quote, unfaithful bridesmaids who don't have enough oil for their lamps to see the bridegroom coming. We go all the way forward in John's gospel to a Thursday, and we hear that this cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. So there's a lot of stuff going on here. What caught my attention reading the passage this time is not all the stuff that John has managed to wedge in there. It's the moment of transformation. As John describes it. As I said, there's no bright light, there's no booming sound, there's no voiceover. It's when the water is drawn out. When the ladle is drawn out of the water, what's in it is different. So, that had me thinking about things that get drawn out of water because we're told to do it by Jesus. Do you know anybody who's been drawn out of the water because we were told to be drawn out by Jesus? I know we're Presbyterians, we sprinkle, but go with me here. Go with me all the way back to that full immersion coming up out of the water thing. Are we transformed when we're drawn out of the water? And are we transformed into the cheap stuff or the good stuff? I mean, it'd be easy to transform us into the cheap stuff. That's kind of what we start off as, right? When we come to the waters of baptism, we come knowing we're broken, knowing we're struggling, knowing that things, well, if we're really honest, knowing that we're not perfect. So what is it that we draw out of the waters of baptism? John is loaded with this sacramental stuff. Go and do what Jesus tells you, and it'll work out. Go and draw it out of the containers for ritual purification. And it'll be the best wine you've ever served at a wedding. Go and remember your baptism and know that when you were drawn out of the waters, you were drawn out to be amazingly good stuff that shocks the steward and the world. And to God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.